If you have your Bible this morning, would you open to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter number 4 this morning as we look at our morning exhortation from the Gospel of Matthew. We are going through the Gospel of Matthew in a devotional manner. I hope that it's been a help to you as we've looked at it over the last several weeks. But we find ourselves at Matthew chapter number 4. And we're looking at it for the second time. I told you that there was too much here for me to cover in one shot, and I wanted you to profit from this section. And what's so helpful here in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, is that we see and we learn how to deal with, or at least how to find help as it regards temptation, by looking at the way the Lord Jesus dealt with temptation. And I hope that's what you pick up here, is that by looking at His example, you can gain help when you are tempted by certain things. So once again, let's read this passage beginning in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him.
Amen.
You know, I think the first thing to be pointed out here from verses 1 and 2 is that we learn that the devil oftentimes seeks to tempt us when we are at times of weakness and when we are in seasons of vulnerability. Again, you think about Jesus, you think about where he is enduring this particular temptation. He's out in the wilderness. Many pressures, hunger, and all of those things were facing the Lord Jesus at that time. And it's interesting that Christ, as the second Adam, here he is being tempted in a wilderness. And as you see from the text, he overcomes all of the temptations, whereas Adam was tempted in a beautiful garden and he fell. Isn't that something? As you see, Jesus, our champion, overcoming these temptations. But still, we have to wrestle with the fact and understand Jesus is the God-man. He's fully God and fully man. But in his humanity, here he is in the wilderness being tempted. These were real temptations from the devil, and he was really experiencing these things. And he hungered and was thirsty, and here he is in the wilderness. And many times we find ourselves in those same kinds of situations, and it's in those moments, perhaps when we're weak and when we're vulnerable, and maybe, of course, the Lord Jesus never had his guard down, but maybe when we have our own guard down, that sometimes we're susceptible to temptation. And so we need to remember all of the instruction in the New Testament that teaches us to put on the Christian armor and to make sure that we're vigilant and make sure that we're girding up the loins of our mind and doing the things that the Scripture calls us to as it concerns vigilance and being watchful. And when we do go through seasons of difficulty and maybe circumstances have our minds on other things and maybe we're not thinking as spiritually as we ought to, you need to remember that right there in that moment, it's very likely that a fiery dart is going to come your way and you're going to be tempted by the devil. He often seeks to tempt us when we're in moments of weakness or in seasons of vulnerability. Then as you come to verses 3 through 10, the next thing I want you to see here is that there are three different temptations that the devil throws at the Lord Jesus. And the purpose of us looking at these specifically, once again, is to see that the tactics of the devil have not changed. And he continues to work on people in the same way. He uses the same old tricks. He's found the things that work with humanity that cause them to stumble and to fall. And he throws those same kinds of temptations. So we can grow in wisdom this morning by looking at the way the Lord Jesus handled these different temptations. The first temptation is in verses 3 through 4. And I want you to see that one of the devil's most powerful temptations is to lure us away from dependence on God to a position of unbelief, unbelieving self-help or self-reliance, we could call it. In other words, when you look in verses 3 and 4, you see that the temptation here is to distrust the love of God and the goodness of God and the kindness of God and the will of God and the Word of God, and then to act outside or independently of God. It's a constant temptation that comes in the life of the Christian. Look in verse 3 and 4. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." You see the temptation. Jesus responds to him and says, "Now wait a minute, devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Do you see the temptation? So many times in our lives, this is the temptation that comes to us. We are tempted to believe that God is not good enough to provide for us. That's what he's throwing at Jesus. Look, you're out here hungry. Here you are, the Son of God, and you're out here in the wilderness, and you're hungry and you're thirsty. Why don't you just turn this stone into bread and be satisfied and everything will be okay? And of course, in the mind of the Lord, he knew that he would be fed at the proper time when it was within the plan and the purposes of God for him to be fed. And don't we get messed up on this so many times?
Yeah.
Again, we think that maybe God's not good enough. We even look in the promises, perhaps like we see in chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel. In that section where we call the anxious chapter, where we're told by the Lord not to be worrying about all these earthly things that the Gentiles worry about. How many times do we worry? Well, am I going to have enough money for retirement? Am I going to have enough money to pay the bills? Am I going to have enough of this and enough of that? Is the Lord really going to take care of me? I mean, do things really, all things work out for good to those who love God, to those who are called? Do I really believe those promises? You see, the devil comes to us and he wants us to disbelieve the promises of God. And what's at the root of that is he is preaching the lie to us that God really isn't good. That God's not going to be faithful to you. And since God's not going to be faithful to you, why don't you just take it in your own hands and you deal with the situation in your own power and in your own strength and learn to rely upon yourself. Now, have you ever been tempted in that way?
Mm-hmm.
It's a heavy temptation. How do you combat? How do you fight against that kind of temptation? Well, the Lord Jesus, what did he do? What did he answer him with? The Word of God. God will provide. He will take care. That's the way we have to respond. We have to remember the promises of God. The next time you worry about all of those things, you turn to the Word of God and remember His promises. A second temptation, the next one here, you need to notice that on the one hand, Satan tempts us to believe too little, and on the other hand, he tempts us to believe too much. He knows that we're extremists in human nature. We'll swing the pendulum to one side. And then as we try to counter that, he knows if he can get enough momentum, he'll throw us all the way to the other side and put us in another ditch instead of us being in the middle of the road where we belong. And that's what he's doing to Jesus here. And the temptation here is to take God's word out of context and then presume upon God based upon that wrong interpretation of the scripture. In other words, it's to take the Word of God. This temptation is to take the Word of God beyond its meaning and then recklessly presume upon that which the Scripture never intended or gives us no warrant. You'll notice in verses 5 through 7, the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He'll command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him again, "It's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test."
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people today that take God's word out of context.
Right.
And they give false interpretations and then try to live off of those false interpretations and hold God to those false interpretations that they've come up with. That's what the devil's trying to do here. He's trying to take the Word of God and blow it out of proportion, take it out of context, and then get Jesus to act on that wrong interpretation of the Word of God. And so on the one hand, again, you see that we are tempted by the devil to not believe God enough. He's not going to take care of me, so I've got to take things into my own hands. But if he can't get us with that one, he'll flip it around to the other side and he'll throw a temptation at you. "Oh yeah, God's just going to take care of everything and you'll be fine and you can do this." And my friend, he'll tempt us to violate other things that Scripture has told us. Or to pull things out of context and then presume upon those wrong interpretations. You see people doing that all the time. A third temptation that we need to be aware of here. The third temptation that the devil put before the Lord, and again, many times the people of God as well, is to present an improper pathway to victory. In our Lord's case, it was a pathway to victory without the suffering that God had sent him in the world to undertake. In other words, Satan was tempting the Lord Jesus to take the crown before he endured the cross.
That's right.
Why did Jesus come to this world? He came to this world to die, to be a substitute, to be a sacrifice for sinners. And Satan knows that, and he's trying to tempt Jesus to bypass the cross and to go on and to claim his glory as the king. Notice how it happens in verse number 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I'll give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Isn't that interesting there that Satan claims a certain amount of power and authority as it concerns the kingdoms of the world? And Jesus doesn't say you're wrong about that, does he? It's true. Satan does have a certain amount of power. He's not all sovereign. There's not this duel between God and Satan to see who is the most powerful. God is the most powerful.
Amen.
Satan is God's Satan. He belongs to God. But nevertheless, God has allowed Satan a certain amount of power in this world, a certain amount of dominance, a certain amount of influence in this world. And Satan here, from his perspective, he sees the kingdoms of the world are under his sway and under his influence. And he says to Jesus, "Here you are as a man in this world. And I will give you, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I will go ahead and I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world, and you can exert yourself as the king of the world." Now, the Bible does tell us that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back in glory, and he is going to rule the earth.
Right.
He is going to set himself up as the king, the earthly king over all the nations.
Right.
But here Satan is wanting him to go ahead and claim that and take hold of that before he goes to the cross. And my friend, I am so glad that he did not fall to this temptation.
Yeah.
Because if he had, it would have proved the fact that he couldn't have been the Redeemer for mankind, and we would still be lost in our sins, hopeless, without any chance of salvation. And the Lord Jesus, by using the Word of God once again, he threw back a dart of his own at the devil. And he said, "I'm not going to take the crown before I go to the cross." You'll see it there in verse number 9. He said to him, "All these I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" You know, I think for us as believers, the temptation here is to do things in a way that are outside of God's plan.
Yeah.
That's the issue. That's a huge temptation. And all these kind of dovetail together. But so many times in our own lives as Christians, we think perhaps our way or the way that's presented to us might be better than what God has revealed to us in the Scriptures. Well, maybe my way, maybe my ingenuity, maybe my thought on this is better than what God has planned for me. We're reminded of the Proverbs, aren't we? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will show you the path." He will direct your path. And so many times Satan says, "Oh, why don't you just bypass that? And why don't you do it your own way? Why do you need to go through all of this suffering and all of this difficulty? Why don't you just compromise and go ahead and give in to the temptation," maybe we could phrase it this way, "of self-gratification."
Yeah.
Just don't worry about all that struggle. Just go ahead and take hold of it now. Instant gratification. Go ahead and take the payoff. That's what he was offering at the Lord Jesus. So these are the three temptations for us to deal with. And let me just remind you once again, although I pointed this out last time and I'll do it again today. Again, the way to resist temptation, the way to fight against these things is, number one, to understand the devil's schemes. You need to be very wise to these three kinds of temptations that the devil continues still to throw at human beings. He still works these same old lies and these same old schemes. You need to be wise to those things. And you need to be ready to combat those things with the revealed Word of God, understood in its proper context with the proper interpretation, and take that double-edged sword and just give the devil a good old hoo-yah. Use the sword. Use the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, you need to know your book. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart. So, what does the psalmist say? So that you might not sin against God. So that you might not fall to temptation. So that you might not sin against the Lord. Jesus knew the devil's tricks. And Jesus knew the Word of God. And He faced every temptation with the sword of the Spirit. And that's what we must do as well. And the last bit of encouragement that I would give you from this text is in verse 11. Let's read it here. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. You need to mark it down, put it in your book. That blessing will always follow when we overcome the temptations that are put before us by the enemy. Hear the Lord Jesus, the devil fled. And I'm going to tell you, if you resist him, he'll flee you as well. Amen. The Bible gives you that promise. Right. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. And isn't it a beautiful scene here that Jesus in his humanity is there in the wilderness. The devil has fled. And look what happens. Angels came and ministered to him. Or you could say it this way. Heaven came down to comfort the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And my friend, those same comforts that God has reserved for His people, they will be the same comforts for you. I'm not saying that an angel is going to sweep down and sit right beside you and comfort you and feed you and all of that. But listen, there are heavenly resources that are available for the believer. The Lord Jesus Christ is always pouring out grace and comforts to His own.
Amen.
And you can depend upon those things. You can be assured, rest assured, that if you resist the devil, if you use the Word of God, if you overcome the temptation, you will experience the blessing of God in your life. That will be your experience, a blessed life. It's always, a blessed life is always when we get in line with what God has shown us in His Word.
Amen.
That's the call today. Know the book. Do what God says. Resist temptation. Follow the Lord Jesus' example. You're being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know your Lord. Follow your Lord. Obey the book. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for this wonderful account and this wonderful example of our Lord standing against the temptations that were thrown at Him. Father, may we follow suit. Lord, may we learn the schemes of the devil. May we think deeply about this passage and see that the devil's tricks are the same old tricks and he continues to use the same thing against us. May we be wise to these things and may we resist him and may we hide the word in our heart so that we can use it, so that we can fight against our enemy. Lord, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for revealing these things to us. Thank You for preserving these things in Your word. Lord, they're for our benefit and for our profit. And Lord, I think of this verse as the devil left Jesus and the angels ministered to the Lord. Lord, I pray that for Your children.
Amen.
Father, I pray that the devil would flee when they fight against him. And Lord, that You would give them the comforts of heaven in the moment of victory, Lord, so that they would take courage and be ready to stand and fight another day. We praise You today. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.